Well, we've talked about blessings this morning. We've been blessing, and I was involved in blessing yesterday, so I thought I'd look at blessings in the Bible. And so I put down here blessings and curses. And God has always wanted to make himself known and his ways known, you know, right from the beginning. And man is to glorify God, and to that's what God wants from us. He wants us to glorify God, and he wants us to reflect his glory, reflect his character. That's what God wants from us. And in the Bible, and particularly in the Old Testament, God rewarded obedience and loyalty. And I think we see this as blessing. When God was acknowledged, he gave health, prosperity, protection, and peace. But even in all that, there were times when people who were loyal found themselves persecuted. So it doesn't always work. Perhaps we'll try and work that one out. And God chose Israel as his adopted nation to be an example, a sort of teacher to the nations around, to reflect his glory. He wanted to show the surrounding nations the way to live and who was the true God. So he picked this nation, Israel, to reflect this glory of his and this governance and this how to be. And God wanted to be involved with the life and history of Israel, because he had chosen Israel. You're going to be my people to show how it's done. And he wanted to be involved with them ongoing, and have a relationship with them that he blessed them and they blessed him. It was mutual. It was a relationship. And when Israel, they had come out of slavery, and when they were became a nation and they were about to cross into this new land, they were told to build a memorial, or a could be an altar, a memorial, a monument. You know, sometimes you see, I was talking about it the other day, last time, sometimes I'm out cycling and you see it, or running, and you see a cross, or like there's one down in Staplefield, a Celtic cross, and, you know, on the bottom, in remembrance of those who gave their lives in the wars. And he wanted a memorial built of stone and plaster, and with laws written on, so that they would always have this as a remembrance of how to live. And when they were to do this, they got the tribes gathered, the tribes of Israel, and they were to shout out the blessings and the curses of how they believe, how they should live. I'll just read a couple, because I know my time's running out, so let's do a few. Cursed, so they were to shout this out. Cursed is the man who carves an image of Cath, or casts an idol, a thing detestable to the Lord, the work of the craftsman's hands, and sets it up in secret. Then all the people shall say amen. Cursed is the man who dishonors his father or his mother. Then all the people shall say amen. And it goes on with this list. And that's in Deuteronomy 27:15. There's a whole list of these curses that they were to shout out as a warning to the people. And there were some pretty unpleasant ones here. And you think, well, why would you write some of these in there? Let's have a look. There's no children here, are there? No. You know, cursed is the man who has sexual relations with any animal. And you think that's, you know, shocking. But that's because that went on in the nations that they were going to inherit. And this kind of thing happened. And it wasn't to influence these people. And, you know, and you think, wow, these are a bit shocking, some of these. But they were there as a warning. But they had blessings as well. And in the curse, you think, well, what was the curse that was put upon these people? And if you read further on, there's a few chapters there. the curse is for disobedience and for disobeying these rules. There's a whole list of them, and time has run out, and I can't really go through them, but it kind of goes into detail of what will happen. So, for example, in chapter 28, verse 20, the Lord will send on you curses, confusion, and rebuke in everything you put your hand to until you are destroyed. So they would become confused in their lives. They will become disorientated. They just, would have, I would think, mental health problems. It would just, that would come upon them. Yes, because later there's another one. There's things about having sicknesses in your body. The Lord will afflict you with madness, blindness, and confusion. I just picked those ones out because they're a bit unusual. But there were other ones. Your food, your crops would fail. And this was a failure. The blessings would be the opposite thing. The crops would grow and you would be in peace. People wouldn't attack you. You would be the important nation and those around would be subservient to you. Whereas if you disobey, you would end up serving the nations around you. Another one that happened is, if you obey me, you will prosper and you will be able to bless those around you. If you disobey me, you will end up borrowing money and going into big debt. So debt was a curse. And all this way of life was a curse. And it's an interesting set of lists now, because nowadays a lot of the things that we look around us, we probably don't even think about it as living a cursed life or a blessed life. We might just think that's just normal, but it's kind of detailed here, what was good, what was bad, what was blessed, what was cursed, and it explains what cursed is. So to be obedient, they lived a blessed life, and much of this was just a normal governance of the people. So they had to shout out these blessings and curses, and then later on it goes into the detail. And then to finish, just in Deuteronomy, well, I'm not finishing, but at the end, I'll just read some of this out. Having gone through all this detail, if you follow me, you'll be blessed, and if you don't, you'll be cursed. And then it just ties it all up with this. Now, what I am commanding you today, this is chapter 30, verse 11, in Deuteronomy. Now, what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven so that you have to ask who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it. Nor is it, although Jesus did come down and proclaim it, nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it? No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you may obey it. They were to recite it, learn it off by heart, so they knew these laws. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commands, decrees and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. So it goes on. And they had this all put to them. And what did they say? Yes, we agree to this. But it wasn't actually long before it all went wrong, and they started to worship the gods around them, and they started to follow these other ways, and they started to disobey these rules, and they became just like the nations around them. And then things went wrong. Maybe their crops failed. They had invaders coming on them. And even when the things were bad around them, I should think people were still saying, God bless you. God may your... And yet they were living in complete disobedience to everything God had said to them. And they would still sort of proclaim, God bless you. And so... So God's blessing is in the context of following him and putting him first. It's not just God bless you and do what you like. God's blessing is put God first, put him first in your life, and then you get the blessing. It's not just say the words and do what you like and God blesses you. It go hand in hand. So there's a principle there. But when things went wrong in their nation and they were taken captive, you know, there were people that were caught up in this, God-fearing people, who ended up not... Just think of some names, you know. Sometimes we get caught up in the mess of the curse. We had the Old Testament prophets. Most of them were killed or treated badly. We have Daniel, who was taken as a slave. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, taken as slaves. Esther, Nehemiah, Ezra, they were all living in a foreign land, living under a curse because of the governance of their nation, and yet they were good, honest believers that were caught up in, shall we say, the curse of the bigger picture. And yet, although God did look after them and protect them within that picture, if you see what I mean. What about the New Testament? Well, there's a lot to say here, and I've got to try and rush through it, really. But in the New Testament, you know this verse very well. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And Jesus is talking about people worrying about what they're going to eat, the food, the clothing, you know, your everyday things that we worry about. And Jesus says, don't worry about all these things. Seek God first, and these will be added to you. So same again. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's like live how God would like you to live, and, you know, these things will be taken care of. The blessing of God comes within a framework of putting God and his ways first. We need to give God glory, reflect his glory. So are we chasing after the things? Do we chase after the blessing, or do we put God first and then he'll look after us? So, you know, we don't want to be seek first the blessing and hope God will be added. We want to put God first and the blessings added. And I just think about my own personal experience. As a parent, I'm a parent, and what do I want for my children? And, you know, when I want my priority for my children, number one priority, I would think, is to grow up as a Christian. That's what I would want. You know, I want them to know Jesus and to follow Jesus. This would be my choice for my children, my three. That would be my top priority. Perhaps my second priority for them would be, if I can say this, to marry the right person. You know, that's what I want for them. Above other things, you know, above the big job or the wealth. Those are the two things I put top for myself. That's how I think. You might think differently, but my first would be they know Jesus. The second, they marry the right person. And then the other things can fall into place. I'm not so bothered, if you can see. And while I was at camp the other day, someone said to me, this man asked me, he said, what should I do with my children? How much should I push them to come to, you know, to go to church and that? And I said to him, you know, what you do, they see how you prioritize your life. They see what you put value on, you know, what you value and what you place importance on. They will see that anyway. So if I chase after this or that, but tell them go to church or do this, but my values are different, they'll see that and they'll just think, hypocrite, or they'll just think, well, I'll do what you do. So they see your value. They're quite smart, really, and they can see what you value. And I said they'll see what you value, and they'll know. So as much as you want to say to them, they'll see the value that you put in things in life. And on this, I just had a little proviso here. In Colossians 3:21, it says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children, so that they will not lose heart." Sometimes dads, obviously, because it's put in there, can push their kids too hard, or I don't know. That's how I read it. Exasperate them. I don't know where that's been too. Have a think on that one. But it's definitely there, and it's one to think about as a father. Do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. You know, is that putting too much pressure on them? But there's one for the children. Children, honour your parents, and long will be your life. There's a blessing there for children if they take hold of that. And our actions can speak louder than our words. You know, in James 2... James 2:15 and 16, it says, "Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, 'Go, I wish you well, keep warm, well fed,' but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it?" So sometimes we can say, "Bless you," and it's as shallow as anything, because we could actually help them, and there's no thought put in it. And so think about what we do, because we're working in the framework of God's kingdom and his order. And just to say bless you, and you see that there is a problem that you could actually solve, you're not helping. You know, it's not very thoughtful. And so, you know, say it. It's better actually to do it than say it, isn't it? And I perhaps just finish with, in Matthew 21, verse 28 to 32. I'll just have to remember this. There were two sons. I'll tell you, and then I'll finish. And the first son comes along, and the father says, "Go in the vineyard and do some work." And he goes, "No, I don't want to," or whatever. And then later he regrets it, and having thought about it, and then he goes and gets on with the work, but he had said no. The second son comes along, and dad says, "Go and do some work in the vineyard," and he goes, "I will, sir," but he doesn't go. And then Jesus says, "Who did the will of his father?" And that's where sometimes our words can be very shallow if we don't follow up with actions. You know, when we want to bless and to encourage, words are important. Believe me, they're very important. But it is good to get behind and encourage and help. And I just leave it with that, really. But blessing comes in the framework of following Jesus. But it's not always guaranteed, because Jesus also says, "Take up your cross and follow me." And so we live in and as Kevin said last week, there's a broken world out there. There's a cursed world. And when our government or those around us disobey or do things wrong, we are subject to being part of these things. And we are part of a broken world, a cursed world. It's gone wrong. And so God looks after us, but we still face issues and problems. You know, you're not in a bubble that sort of takes you out of this world, not till you die. But so God wants to bless us, but we do also hit issues because there is a broken, cursed world out there. Okay, thank you. I think I'll do this.